శ్రీమద్భాగవతం క్లాస్ బై యశోనస్ డాక్టర్ సామ్రస్వామి ఇన్ టెంపుల్.
Translation. Shri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the super soul and guide of all living entities who have accepted material bodies within this world. He is the supreme controller of all activities in material nature. He is also our best friend, and everyone should take shelter at his lotus feet. In doing so, one's life will be auspicious. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 61, it is said, Ishvarah sarva bhutanam hriddeshi arjuna tishthati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. The living entity is within the body, and the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is also there. He is called Antaryami and Chaitya Guru. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 15, He is controlling everything. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Everything is being directed by the super soul within the body. Therefore, the better part of valor is to take his direction and be happy. To take his directions, one needs to be a devotee. And this is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upriyantike. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Although the super soul is in everyone's heart, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshi arjuna tishthati, he talks only to the pure devotees who constantly engage in his service. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antilila, chapter 3, text 45, it is said, Tahare se boli vidya mantra adhyayan, Krishna pada padme je kare sthiraman. One who has fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna is to be understood as having the best education and as having studied all the Vedas. There are also other appropriate quotes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sheshe vidyar phal jani ho nishchay Krishna pada padme jodi chitta vritti rai. The perfect result of an education is the fixing of one's mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Dibbijoy koribo vidyar karjo nahe ishvare bhojile sei vidya satya kahe. Conquering the world by means of material education is not desirable. If one engages himself in devotional service, his education is perfected. Pare kena lok Krishna bhakti janibare, she jodi nahila tabe vidyay ki kare. The purpose of education is to understand Krishna and his devotional service. If one does not do so, then education is false. Tahare shei boli dharma karma sadachar, ishvare shei priti janme sammata sabhar. Being cultured, educated, very active and religious means developing natural love for Krishna. Everyone has dormant love for Krishna, and by culture and education that has to be awakened. That is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. Once Lord Chaitanya asked Sri Ramananda Rai what was the best part of education, and Ramananda Rai replied that the best part of education is advancement in Krishna consciousness. Kindly repeat after me. Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
is the Super Soul,
is the Super Soul,
and guide of all living entities,
and guide of all living entities,
who have accepted material bodies,
who have accepted material bodies,
within this world,
within this world.
He is a supreme controller.
He is a supreme controller
of all material activities.
Of all material activities
in material nature.
In material nature.
He is also our best friend.
He is also our best friend.
And everyone should take shelter.
And everyone should take shelter
at his lotus feet.
At his lotus feet.
In doing so.
In doing so.
One's life will be auspicious.
One's life will be auspicious.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunilam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sarkajatam Sahagana Gunatantam Tamsa Jeevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vita Shri Vishakhanditam Nascha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Nikinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vrachayane निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश राहिने वांछा कल्प कदोभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 Hare Krishna. This is a conversation between Narad Muni and King Prachinapahi in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prachinapahi was very attached to fruitive activities, which is called Sakama Karma. That karma or that activity which is performed for the enjoyment of the fruits of that activity. When one desires material things in life and works with that aspiration, then such activity is called sakam karma. Most people are interested in fruitive activities. They want some material enjoyment, gross or subtle, from their activities. And King Prachina Parishad was one among them. He was probably the leader among them. But at least he followed the Vedic scriptures in pursuance of his material enjoyment. This is called Karma Kanda. The Vedas are very, very vast and exhaustive in their scope. Krishna is a very practical person. He is very kind. He makes facility for everyone's spiritual advancement. Not everyone is ready to surrender to him and take shelter of his lotus feet. So there are some who just cannot do it. Many times Duryodhana was told, even Dhritarashtra was told, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you must surrender to him, but they just couldn't do it. They were not ready for it. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was about to leave for the forest, was personally instructed by Narad Muni and advised to go home and not be so determined and feel insulted about the slight that his stepmother had given to him. But Dhruva Maharaj said, "I'm sorry, everything you say is so nice, but I'm not in a position to hear it or accept it. My mind now is occupied with this one desire, and I want that fulfilled. Until that is out of my way, I cannot focus on your good instructions." So yes, people are not ready for it. And therefore Krishna has made facility for everyone's gradual spiritual advancement. That is the purpose of the Karmakanda. The Karmakanda section of the Vedas is that part of the Vedas that prescribes rules and regulations by which the follower or practitioner can attain some desired material enjoyment or benefit. And it is better than those who whimsically enjoy this world without a reference to any scriptures or any demigods or any gods. The Karmakanda scriptures essentially, they talk about worship of different demigods. Now the demigods are not the Supreme Lord, but at least being representatives of the Supreme Lord, they have authority. They are authorized managers of this creation. Therefore, at the very least, one must at least take their permission before engaging in material sense gratification. And that is what Karmakanda is all about. They are at least accepting some authority. And therefore, gradually, step by step, there is a purification of heart. But it takes very long. And that is what Narad Muni is telling King Prachina Parishad, that for so long you have been doing all these activities, and where is it taking you? On the contrary, you have killed so many animals, you have done so much that is not for your ultimate benefit. So better you just leave all this Karmakanda and take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. As Narottam Das Thakur has said, Karmakanda Jnanakanda e Vishera Bhanda. He said this Karmakanda Jnanakanda, they are like pots of poison. And sense gratification is also deadly poison. I think one of the classes in Sydney I was just mentioning, maybe yesterday morning, that the Sanskrit word for poison is Visha. And the Sanskrit word for the objects of the senses is Vishaya. Vish and Vishaya. When we take Vish or poison, then we lose one body. We die. So this body is destroyed. So taking poison destroys one body. But taking shelter of Vishaya, or the objects of sense gratification, makes us accept millions of bodies, one after the other, and therefore when we accept one body, then the body has to be destroyed. Jatasya vidhruvam mrityu dhruvam janma mrityusya. One who is born, death is certain. One who dies, birth is certain. So therefore, by engaging in the activities of sense gratification, one actually commits suicide millions of times. By taking poison, one commits suicide one time. So which is more deadly? So the sense gratification, even Karmakanda, as Narottam Das Thakur says, is deadly poison. Even Jnanakanda, that process by which one aspires to extinguish one's individuality and to merge into the impersonal effulgence of Lord Krishna, that is also considered suicide. It is spiritual suicide. Because one wants to destroy one's individuality. So either whether it is Jnanakanda or Karmakanda, it is poison from the point of view of one's ultimate welfare. One's ultimate welfare lies in Krishna consciousness. Tasmat gurum prapadyetam jigyasum shriya uttamam shape parijanishnatam brahman upashamashrayam. So the Yogendras, Nava Yogendras, informed Maharaj Nimi in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that now that one has got a human form of life, tasmad, therefore, gurum prapadyeta, one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And one must become inquisitive, jigyasu, shreya uttamam, about that which is one's ultimate welfare. That's called Shreyas, as opposed to Prayas. Prayas is immediate benefit. that usually comes as a result of sense gratification. But Shreyas is that which is our ultimate welfare. And this ultimate welfare or Shreyas has to be seen in connection with Uttamam. The word Uttama is interesting. In general, Uttama means the best. But specifically, if you see the etymology or the split up of the words, Ut and Tama. Tama means darkness, ignorance. And Ut means to go beyond. So Uttama means that which is beyond darkness of ignorance, which means transcendence. So the word Uttama also means spiritual or transcendental. So the word Shreyaha Uttamam means that one should be inquisitive about one's ultimate spiritual welfare, not simply one's material welfare. And in this way one must take shelter of the disciplic succession. So Krishna consciousness is really the ultimate welfare, because one reaches the point of eternal happiness with the association of Krishna. This is the message that Narad Muni wants to convey to King Prachina Parishad. And he's mentioning here that this is the perfection of education. Prabhupada is speaking a lot about this, about how the perfection of education lies in surrendering to Krishna. Bahunam Jamanamante Yanavam Maham Prapatyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Surudraha. After many, many lifetimes of cultivating knowledge, one comes to the point of surrendering to Krishna. And such a person who does so is extremely rare. So the perfection of knowledge, the culmination of all education, is actually to surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Now, the word education comes from the Sanskrit word, from the Latin word educare, which means to bring out that which is within. So real education, even in the classical Western sense, is to bring out that which is within. But the modern educational system has gone a long way away from this ideal. It now mostly deals with external things. And very little attention is paid, if at all, to bringing out the divinity or the spirituality within all of us, because by nature all of us are spiritual beings. As Prabhupada has explained again and again, and he says so in his famous Hare Krishna lecture in the beginning, that chanting of Hare Krishna is not an artificial imposition of the mind. Yes. It's the natural energy of the living entity. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sattita Punai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Tharahe Pudai. So this Krishna consciousness is something that is dormant already within the living entity's heart. And the process of Krishna consciousness is simply to awaken that which is already there. And this process is called sadhana bhakti. Sadhana means practice. As the proverb goes, practice makes perfect. So when one practices something, then gradually one becomes perfect. Whether it is typing, or whether it is cooking, or whatever it may be, it is only with practice that one can become perfect. So presently, because that innate dormant tendency for Krishna consciousness or love of Krishna is covered over, so we have to revive that and reach the state of perfection by practice. Now, Srila Prabhupada makes some interesting points in his teachings elsewhere. He says that a child has an innate capacity to walk. That is why when the child first practices walking, he may stumble and fall and have some accidents and so on. But gradually by practicing, he eventually learns to walk in a stable way. Similarly, a baby bird, has the innate capacity to fly. initially it can't fly, but with practice, then gradually it learns how to fly. Now the capacity to walk in the child or to fly in the baby bird is there, and that is why the child is able to walk or the bird is able to fly. Had this innate capacity not been there, then no amount of practice would have helped. For example, if the baby human being flaps its hands, it can never fly, no matter how much practice is done. Right? So practice alone is not sufficient. If that innate capacity is not there in the human body to fly, no amount of practice to fly with your flapping your arms is going to help. It's only when the innate capacity exists that practice can lead to perfection. Otherwise, practice is useless. So because the innate capacity for Krishna consciousness is there in the heart, therefore, by practice, it is brought out. That is the meaning of the purport of Prabhupada saying that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is a natural energy of the living entity. So we are bringing out that which is within, which is exactly what education is. But how far removed is the modern system of education, where we don't really talk so much about bringing out that which is within. We are rather more interested in analyzing the external world, which has its place in life and education, no doubt. The Vedic scriptures and even the Srimad Bhagavatam talk so much about that also, but only in connection with the Absolute Truth, only in connection with Krishna. So education really means Krishna consciousness. In the modern system in India, or rather in the traditional system in India, it was quite natural for these things to be taught. Even as a schoolboy, as I mentioned last evening, I remember reading in our small books when we were in year one and year two, year three of school, we would read these things. But the modern day educational system, unfortunately, has become rather secular, and not much attention is paid to giving spiritual education. And therefore, Prabhupada called the modern educational system as spiritual slaughterhouse. It's interesting how the word psychology, I think the Latin origin of the meaning of the word psyche is soul, the original meaning is soul. So psychology means the science of the soul originally. But gradually then the soul became the mind. So then psychology became a study of the mind. And gradually now it has become science of behavior. So from the soul we came to the mind, from the mind we came to behavior and actions. So we can see that as time is passing, even just a few centuries or one century even, how everything is becoming gross, grosser and grosser. Our conceptions are becoming gross. We are losing the finesse, the subtleties of our consciousness. And our definitions of everything also is becoming gross. So Krishna consciousness is the only solution. We take directly to Krishna consciousness and dovetail all the educational system with that. So when Prahlad Maharaj actually talks about what he had learned when his father Hiranyakashipu asks him in the Gurukul, so Prahlad Maharaj says, Kaumaram acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatamiha durlabham manusham janma tadapi atruvam arthadam. He tells his friends, actually, this verse is from his teachings to his friends. He tells them that this Krishna consciousness must be begun from a very young age, from boyhood, from childhood. Because even though this human form of life is very rare, it is very short, it is very meaningful, arthadam. It is only in this human form of life that one can actually become successful and Krishna conscious. To his father, he gives a famous verse, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Mandanam Dasyam Satyam Atmanivedanam Iti Punsatta Vishnu Bhaktis Chinnavalakshana. He says these are the 9 symptoms of devotional service. Kriyata Bhagavatya Dhyata Ditam Manyottamam. And he says that this is the perfection of education, to do this 9-fold process of devotional service, starting with hearing and chanting about Krishna. So Prahlad's definition of education is to hear and chant about Krishna and to serve Krishna. And if someone does that, then one can understand one's educational process to be perfect and complete. Education must develop character. Education must develop good qualities. Srila Prabhupada mentioned one time, actually he says so in the Nectar of Devotion also, when he's speaking about the qualities of bhakti. He says the modern university educational system has not created good qualities in the students. Rather, the students who go through the modern system, they develop all kinds of bad habits. They take intoxicants, they engage in illicit relationships, they do many, many other things which are not desirable. And practically we see that also, even in a place like India, where the modern educational system is making the students more inclined towards being agnostic and more inclined towards sense gratification, so that they forget Vedic culture. No wonder then that Srila Prabhupada spoke about the modern educational system as being educational slaughterhouses. It reminds me of a small story. One time, a school inspector on behalf of the government, he was visiting all the different schools to see the health of the schools, whether everything is going on well in the schools. So he went to one particular school and he was addressing the students, and the teachers were also sitting on the dais. And then he asked the students, "You have all heard Ramayana? The stories of Ramayana?" So they said, "Yes, yes, we have all heard, yes." So he said, "Okay, now I will ask you one question. So, in the Ramayana, tell me, who broke Lord Shiva's bow?" Dhanush, the bow. So there was a silence for a few moments. No one was saying anything. Then finally one boy who was at the back of the hall, he raised his hand and said, "Sir, sir, I have not broken it, I have not broken it." So the inspector was surprised. So then he looked at the teacher, one of the teachers who was sitting on the dais, seeking some explanation. So the teacher said, "Sir, sir, don't worry, I know, he is the one who has done it. He is the one." This is the boy who has broken. The fact that he says he has not done it means he's done it. Guilty conscience pricks the mind. So now the inspector was even more surprised. Then he looked at the principal expectantly, hoping that at least he would say something sensible. And the inspector and the principal was very apologetic. He said, "Sir, please don't mind. We'll adjust it in the budget of the school, whatever." We'll manage it, whatever is broken. So it goes to show that even in a place like India, the educational system has really gone down to such a level where there is no more spiritual education. And Srila Prabhupada wanted our temples to be educational centers where people could learn about Krishna. He said temples are not simply places where you just go and take darshan and go away. Well, that is fine. Taking darshan is one part of our educational process in Krishna consciousness. And definitely it's an important process, and there's great benefit to be derived from it. But nevertheless, unless we hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, unless we hear the message of Krishna, we will not be able to get the fruit of taking darshan. We will not realize the significance of taking darshan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes would annoy me, and he would call it eye exercises. If someone didn't show any interest for hearing about Krishna and would be simply interested in going to the temple as a formality just to take darshan and go away, well, there was some piety there, no doubt, which is why the person is coming to take darshan. But nevertheless, if that person didn't show interest in hearing about Krishna, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that the darshan is merely an eye exercise. So by coming to the temple, attending classes, by discussing philosophy with the student, with the devotees, reading the books like the one Srila Prabhupada has given us, then we actually make advancement. This is real education. Therefore, in all our temples, we must have more discussion about Krishna consciousness. We must have classes, we must have discussions. There must be more serious attempt to understand and practice Krishna consciousness. Then the purpose of our temples will be fulfilled. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
This might feel so qualified to preach or discuss about Krishna in the temple and the devotees or public. Should we still try? We just like read the book.
Your question is, if we do not feel qualified, do we still? Should we still speak?
Yes.
Yes.
To try and preach.
Okay. Yes, indeed, we should. Because who can say that he or she is qualified? Which devotee will say like that? Yes? So, but someone has to preach. In fact, everyone has to preach. So from one point of view, the devotee feels that he or she is not qualified. But nevertheless, we still speak because our acharyas have said so. Because Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has said so. Yes? Jari lakho, tari kaho, Krishna bhavesh. Amar Agyai Guru Han Tarai Desh. So whether we may be qualified from our point of view or not, we should speak about Krishna. And we should speak to the extent of our realization and our knowledge. That is important. One time, when Srila Prabhupada was giving class, there was Saraswati, she was a small girl. She was only 5 years old at that time. And she was wandering amongst the devotees who were sitting for the class. Just like this child is going around. Like that, she was going around like this. And then she was going and tapping people on the shoulder and saying, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada said, she is preaching. So she knew this much. She wasn't able to give a whole Bhagavad Gita lecture. But she knew this much, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and she was saying this. That is preaching. So to the extent that we have understood, realized and assimilated in the disciplic succession from Srila Prabhupada's books and from his followers, we repeat. So that is our qualification, that we repeat. Srila Prabhupada said, my qualification is that I am repeating what my Guru has said. So that is our job, to be postmen. That is our success in preaching. And we add our sincerity and our devotion to it. Okay? Any other questions or comments? Yes.
You made a very good point about how darshan is simply eye exercise. If we don't hear about Does that apply to every aspect of devotional service? For example, if devotees and fans feel like God's parikram is more important than Vrindavan, they have to go to Holy Path.
The question is that what was said about darshan and eye exercises, does it apply to other forms of devotional service also, like Gauriman parikramas? Now again, I'd like to just mention that when I say that Bhaktisiddhanta said like this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta didn't mean to minimize the importance of taking darshan. This we should be clear about. He was just trying to make a point that people didn't like to hear. And here is really the basis of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, you see, in Krishna consciousness, as the very term indicates, everything depends on consciousness. Right? Prabhupada said that the two most important words in our life are Krishna and consciousness. So now consciousness develops by hearing. And whatever service we do with our body and intelligence and so on, with our words, the quality of that service is what is important. And the quality depends on the state of consciousness. For example, someone is doing arati, someone is cooking, someone is cleaning, someone is even speaking about Krishna. But if there is a certain material motivation there, or there is not so much devotion or sincerity there, then that service is not so pleasing to Krishna. On the other hand, if a very simple service is done by a devotee but with great feeling and great devotion, then that is very much appreciated by Krishna. So hearing helps us to purify our heart so that we can develop good consciousness for the sake of serving Krishna. So when we hear and chant about Krishna regularly in the association of devotees, then we learn to serve Krishna in different ways with the right consciousness. Then everything we do, whether it's arati or cooking or cleaning or anything else, will be done in the proper spirit. Now, coming to your question about the parikramas, whether it's important to go to Vrindavan for parikramas. You see, Srila Prabhupada has given us a package of things that we must do. Just like for nutrition of the body, you must have balanced nutrition, isn't it? You must have vitamins, you must have proteins, you must have some carbohydrates, you must have some fruits and vegetables, so everything you must have. So also, even though our principle nourishment spiritually is to hear and chant, everything else that we do in Krishna consciousness is supportive of these two. And they are meant to nourish these two processes, to increase our faith and conviction in these two processes. So sometimes going for these parikramas is necessary and important because it revitalizes and rejuvenates our spiritual life. And on the other hand, it's not that one should want to do that all the time, or do it beyond the limit and then forget about preaching. That is also not good. So everything has to be seen in balance. Just like when we eat, if you're going to eat only proteins, thinking that I'll develop good muscles or something like that, and that's also not good. So everything must be in its balance. Yes, occasionally, once in a while, maybe once a year, once in two, whatever is feasible and practical, we go for some darshans and parikramas to Vrindavan, Mayapur and other places. Some devotees are not able to go for longer periods. Whatever is feasible and possible. And then one also continues with one's regular devotional services, preaching and participating in the missionary activities. So the balance must be there. Okay? Yes?
Right. Sometimes it happens that, you know, when we take too much service or sort of too much preaching, then there's less time for reading and listening. So what is more important, preaching or reading and listening for you spiritually? again, it's sort of a
similar. The question is that what is more important, preaching or reading and hearing?
Or any other?
Both are important, but the foundation is hearing. If you're not hearing, if you're not reading, then what will you speak? Correct? If you haven't heard, then you will not be able to repeat or say anything that is authorized. On the other hand, if you're hearing, but you're not speaking, then what is the use? So we must do both. We must hear, and we must also speak. Now, if someone is not very philosophical by nature, or is not able to speak properly about Krishna, it doesn't matter. That hearing will manifest in terms of kirtan in other ways. One can chant the holy names, one can participate in service, then that service is an expression of our consciousness that has been developed by hearing. The word kirtan comes from kirti, which means to glorify. So kirtan is glorifying the Lord. So all forms of service in Krishna consciousness are expressions of glorification of the Lord. So regardless of whether one is able to speak philosophy or katha or not, when one hears, one must facilitate others in their Krishna consciousness. That is preaching. One may not be able to speak, but one may cook prasadam, so that those who come for the program may eat. One may clean the temple nicely so that the people, when they come there, they become very attractive. So every service that we do in our movement is preaching. In other words, we hear and we read, nourish ourselves, and then we enthusiastically render different types of services. Both must be there. The balance must be there. Okay? Yes, one last question.
Maharaj, you said that, you know, that the consciousness is more important in doing service. And sometimes I feel like, for example, let's say when I was chanting 4 rounds, I want to chant 16 rounds just to tell other people, like, yes, I'm chanting 16 rounds. And like some other service and everything, I'm not in the mood of, you know, like to completely offer to Krishna. But if any service is given, I just want to do the best so that I'm satisfied for myself and I'm happy that I've done it in a good way. So is that good or bad?
Your question is that you were chanting 4 rounds well.
No, I was chanting 4 rounds. Like the impetus for me to chant 16 rounds to say to other people, yes, I have to come to 16. So
well, the solution to wanting to chant 16 rounds just so that you can tell others you're chanting 16, the solution to that problem is to not have that impetus and to chant 16 rounds. And not do it for that reason, but just do it because you're convinced that this is what needs to be done for your Krishna consciousness. That's all. And for whatever reason, better to still do it. Because by doing it, we will actually get purified. But we must know that ultimately, yes, the consciousness is what really is important. But that doesn't mean that we will think that, well, I better do just 1 round nicely rather than doing 16 rounds. Because we must follow the instructions of the acharyas. Srila Prabhupada wants us to do a minimum of 16 rounds of Mahamantra every day. So we should try. Try our best. That's also an expression of consciousness, isn't it? That I'm trying my level best. That pleases Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gau Premanandai.
Jai.